This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
A federal judge blocking the Trump administration's decision to end the Dreamers program on March 5th, ruling that protections must remain in place while pending legal challenges proceed and ordering the government to resume taking renewal applications. The Justice Department responding that the ruling does not change its position that the Obama-era program is unlawful, asserting that it will continue to defend its position in further litigation. The late-night court surprise coming hours after the remarkable televised meeting between President Trump and bipartisan lawmakers over a potential deal for the Dreamers.
This should be a bipartisan bill. This should be a bill of love. Truly, it should be a bill of love.
President Trump suggesting a compassionate solution, suggesting flexibility.
I think my positions are going to be what the people in this room come up with.
Mr. Trump also signaling an openness to pursuing a larger immigration deal.
If we do this properly, DACA, you're not so far away from comprehensive immigration reform. And if you want to take it that further step, I'll take the heat. I don't care. I'll take all the heat you want to give me. And I'll take the heat off both the Democrats and the Republicans.
At times, the president appearing to contradict himself, insisting that border security must be part of any agreement, but also suggesting he is open to a clean DACA bill.
I have no problem. I think that's basically what Dick is saying. We're going to come out with DACA. We're going to do DACA. And then we can start immediately on the phase two, which would be comprehensive.
House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy interjecting this.
Mr. President, you need to be clear, though. I think what Senator Feinstein is asking here, when we talk about just DACA, we don't want to be back here 2 years later. You have to have security.
It was unclear if border security meant a wall. The White House offering little clarity.
The wall has to be part of a deal in order for these Dreamers to have protection.
Border security does have to be part of this process.
But you understand how the wall could be different than border security, sir. Border security could mean agents, it could mean more fencing. It doesn't necessarily mean a physical.
And that's part of the negotiation that we expect Congress to have.
Mr. Trump later tweeting that a wall must be part of any DACA approval.
Okay, some questions. How about Sarah Westwood? Where is Sarah? Sarah, thank you. Washington Examiner.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. Yesterday, in a meeting with lawmakers, you said that you would be open to signing just about any immigration deal that bipartisan group of lawmakers sent to you.
Right.
Would you be willing to sign an immigration deal that ultimately does not include funding for the border wall, or would that be a red line for you?
No. It's got to include the wall. We need the wall for security. We need the wall for safety. We need the wall for stopping the drugs from pouring in. I would imagine that the people in the room, both Democrat and Republican, I really believe they're going to come up with a solution to the DACA problem, which has been going on for a long time, and maybe beyond that, immigration as a whole. But any solution has to include the wall, because without the wall, it all doesn't work. You can look at other instances. Look at what happened in Israel. They put up the wall. They solved a very major problem. We need the wall. We have to have the wall for security purposes. Security is number one. And so the answer is have to have the wall. Thank you. And please.
Yeah. Can I just get your reaction to the president tweeting about you, saying that your actions about potentially releasing these transcripts are illegal?
Oh, I don't believe they are. And obviously, I wouldn't have done it if I thought they are. The one regret I have is that I should have spoken with Senator Grassley before. And I think the American people have a right to know. I don't think there's something that's classified. I don't think there's anything that's highly problematic. But at least it's a clearing of the air so that the facts are out there.
Does it offend you when the president calls you shady in a tweet?
He tends to call people names very quickly, so I'm not alone.
Here's a special message for those of you who owe the IRS at least $10,000 or more in back taxes. The IRS has special programs in place that could eliminate or reduce your tax debt by thousands of dollars. Call the Federal Tax Management Helpline that has been set up for you, 800-503-8625. Stop the wage garnishments, levies, and tax liens now. Once you've qualified and enrolled, the IRS will stop all the collection activities against you. These unique programs have been allocated to help the economy and significantly reduce or eliminate your tax burden. The IRS is currently accepting reduced settlements and other favorable programs. You may qualify for substantial savings, so get the help you need. If you owe more than $10,000 in taxes, call for free information and to see if you qualify. Take down the number now for the Federal Tax Management Hotline, 800-503-8625. That's 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
It is 6 minutes after the top of the hour, America. It's always great to have you along with us, and I've been talking about this for quite a while. I've been looking forward to this opportunity to have Ed Conard on with us to talk about the economy. Ed, of course, is a New York Times bestselling author, visiting scholar with the American Enterprise Institute, former partner with Bain Capital. Ed, Happy New Year. Good to have you with us, sir. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me, Bill. Happy New Year to you.
Well, I think it's important, Ed, for, you know, with all the fake news and stuff that's going out there, mainstream America is getting confused by, as I say, the fake news, this anti-Trumpism that is out there relative to the economy. I mean, we just had a major tax reform bill and Jobs Act that was passed at the end of the year. We're told that come February, America is going to notice a discernible difference in their paycheck to the positive. So there's a lot of things looking up here, but yet you've got the naysayers and the anti-Trumpers countering everything and doing everything they can to block business and block the momentum and the winning that America seems to be on right now.
Well, if you look at the stock market, it's up 35% since the president was elected in November. So clearly investors and business executives who look forward into the future see a much more optimistic future than they saw prior to the Republicans gaining control of the government. The stock market was at about 14,000 since 2014. In the last several years of the Obama administration, after it had a pretty tepid rebound from one of the severest recessions we've seen since the Great Depression. So, well, I agree with you that the media has done great or terrible, depending on your point of view, job of spinning the negativity here. I think that real investors see a lot more optimism than what the media certainly is claiming.
Well, you know, take a look at the GDP. President Obama never saw 2% GDP. They kind of laughed at Trump when he first said that, hey, look at, I anticipate 3-5% GDP, and they, you know, probably not in your first 4 years would you be able to accomplish 3%. And inside of the first year, he's had back-to-back 3% plus GDP.
Yeah, I think the forecast for productivity are almost a full percentage point, were almost a full percentage point below where they had been historically. You remember, before the Obama administration, productivity grew at 2.5% a year, every year for two decades. It raised to 3% briefly in the first 2 years of the Obama administration, but after the Democratic Congress got done passing all of the regulations and such that they passed, productivity fell to almost 0.5% a year, close to 0.5% a year, and never recovered from that level. So the idea that we can't recover back to something close to the 2.5% we were at before, if we're able to roll back much of the thicket of regulation that was put on in those 2 years when the Democrats controlled all three branches of the government. I think that's the place, by the way, where the reason why the stock market is so optimistic about the future, it's not just the tax bill. It's also the rollback in regulations, which stifles the innovation and entrepreneurialism and risk-taking, which is required to get back to the kind of robust growth rates that we saw for three decades prior to the Obama administration.
Why are Democrats so stubborn to ignore the empirical evidence like that, Ed?
Well, I think whatever party's not in power always wants to say how badly the economy's doing because that's their pathway back into power. So I don't think they want to admit any ground on this tax deduction. We had a 35% corporate tax, one of the highest corporate tax rates in the world. All of our companies are putting their intellectual property overseas and paying foreign governments low tax rates because they can't compete with a high U.S. tax rate. It's ridiculous to not collect those taxes from the foreign governments, for example, for ourselves. So the idea, and I think the Democrats and Republicans both agreed that the corporate tax rate, for example, needed to be drastically reduced from where it was. Now, the Democrats proposed 28%. The Republicans ultimately passed 21%. But you'd think it was the end of the world, 21% versus 28. Clearly, I think there isn't an economist who wouldn't believe that 21 is better than 28 and 15 is better than 21. So I think when they go out into the media, they're simply selling their side of the vote. They're not really trying to get at the truth about the underlying economics and what's best for America and the country.
And the unfortunate part of that, Ed, is if we had their participation, if we had bipartisan participation on this, what level could we be operating on?
Yeah, you would think we could at least get back to the two or three decades we had prior to the Great Recession, which is about 2.5% productivity growth every year. I think according to the Congressional Budget Office, every tenth of a point increase in productivity produces $275 billion of tax revenues over the next 10 years.
Right.
And so we could see a 1 point increase, which would be twofold more than the deficit that's projected to be caused by this tax cut. If we just get small increases in productivity gains, it pays back the entire tax cut.
Well, Ed, I look at it from a standpoint, I've always looked at things this way in terms of potential productivity. I call it the law of capacity. I believe that there is a law of capacity in play here if you really stopped and looked and analyzed the level of productivity potentially that is within the borders of this great country of ours. It's been pent up over the years and it's unleashing like a madman because it's just been, held back for so long. And now with these regulations coming off, I think originally President Trump said for every new one, we were going to take out two, and the latest report said we're taking out as many as 22 regulations for every new regulation. So obviously there was a lot of low-lying fruit here when it came to regulations, and look what's happening already, the encouraging news that we're getting not only from the stock market but from unemployment, black unemployment all-time low since they've been keeping the numbers, Hispanics down under 5% unemployment, and these are good jobs. We're not talking picking strawberries here, Ed.
No, and especially now when if you continue to get growth while labor is tight, while unemployment is low, then that's all going to translate into wage increases, which is the very thing that we haven't seen for the last 10 years. We've seen almost no wage increases at all because there's been such amount of slack in the labor market. So when you get to this point where not only is unemployment low, but the economy continues to grow and we get the productivity gains because people are now beginning to make investments again, what you end up getting at this point is increases in the wages, which is what I would expect that we're going to see in the next several years, a much more rapid increase in wages than we saw in the past, because we can't get too much more of an increase in employment given how tight employment is becoming. And what happens is we reorganize, as you point out, from low-paying jobs to high-paying jobs to higher-paying jobs, even higher-paying jobs, as the employers are scrambling to fill the jobs that the demand that they have. And so then what do? They start investing in capital and other innovations that increase the productivity of labor. And what that does in the long run, and this is one of the tightest correlations in economics, is the correlation between increases in productivity growth and increases in wages in the economy. Ultimately, that is the only driver of wage increases.
You know, without a doubt. More from Ed Conard right after this. Stay with us, America. This is Bill Martinez. We're live.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Here's a special message for those of you who owe the IRS at least $10,000 or more in back taxes. The IRS has special programs in place that could eliminate or reduce your tax debt by thousands of dollars. Call the Federal Tax Management Helpline that has been set up for you, 800-503-8625. Stop the wage garnishments, levies, and tax liens now. Once you've qualified and enrolled, the IRS will stop all the collection activities against you. These unique programs have been allocated to help the economy and significantly reduce or eliminate your tax burden. The IRS is currently accepting reduced settlements and other favorable programs. You may qualify for substantial savings, so get the help you need. If you owe more than $10,000 in taxes, call for free information and to see if you qualify. Take down the number now for the Federal Tax Management Hotline, 800-503-8625. That's 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now, and as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com, virtual care anywhere.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out. Because I love you too much, baby. Why can't you see?
15 minutes after the top of the hour, we're talking with Ed Conard. In a sense, when we first had this conversation, this idea to have Ed on and to dedicate this full hour, with all due respect, I didn't want to insult anybody. I just wanted to review the economy and make it, you know, one of these approaches of Econ 101 for morons. And I say, you know, that with due respect and laughingly at ourselves, because I think that we've been given a lot of false information that has been politically motivated. And I wanted Ed to come on to give us an unbiased perspective and walk us through some of these things. Ed, you know, when it was first suggested with these tax cuts, the Democrats went absolutely over the top on this deal, said all these corporations are going to take this money and they're just going to put it in their pockets and pay themselves dividends. Boy, were they shocked when all these companies started handing out bonuses even before the ink was dry on the signing of the tax bill, right?
I think people anticipate not only faster growth and higher profits, but I also think they expect higher return on investment because of the lower tax rates. And when you get a higher return on investment, you're going to see more investment, more productivity gain, more wage gain, more growth that comes from that. And I think if you look back over the last administration, one of the main reasons why we had such a slow recovery from the recession, and I think this is widespread agreement on this, is that there's been very low investment relative to GDP, relative to the past. And what we're beginning to see is a kick up in investment and a kick up in productivity, which will ultimately lead to a tight labor market and higher wages. And you see that reflected in the stock market. That's right. Why the stock market is so optimistic about what the future looks like, up 35% since President Trump was elected.
Exactly. Well, Ed, don't you think part of it is we missed a little bit of an opportunity? We made some mistakes, and we needed to pay for those mistakes. And I thought with the government bailout that it short-circuited that opportunity. It's like, you know, with our kids. When our kids make mistakes and they find themselves overdrawn, we're really quick to, you know, write up their bank account instead of them feeling the pain of their poor choices that they made. I think a little bit of that dynamic, that might be naive, but I just feel that a little bit of that dynamic was lost, even though it was a big scale, you know, government situation and our entire economy at risk here.
The only thing I would say in this is I do think that what ends up happening is in a recession and a depression, people get scared, and so they stop taking risk. You don't see the entrepreneurialism. So what you'd like the government to do at that time is roll back on regulations, reduce taxes, increase the return on investment, pull back on the attack on, say, the banking system, even though you might think the attack is warranted. When you do that, people rein in their horns. They see more risk, and so they take less risk. So I do agree with you that there is this sort of cleansing aspect to the recession where a lot of the investment that occurred in the boom it needs to be retracted and slowed down, and you do have to learn from your lessons, and the economy does need to reorganize and go in a slightly different direction. But what you don't want to do is serve the economy punishment. And we did, to a certain extent, punish Wall Street, to punish the banks. I'm not saying, you know, that some of it wasn't warranted, but I think when you pile on the regulations, when you put on the taxes, when you become anti-business in your rhetoric, what you're going to find is business that was already pulling in their horns, investors and entrepreneurs who were already pulling in their horns, are going to pull them in even more. And it's going to take that much longer to get back to where you were prior to the recession, when everybody was eager and optimistic about taking the risks that grow the economy.
Well, Ed, you and I talked about this last time. People who have not been in business for themselves, I mean, you can tell right away because of the comments they make that they really don't understand that the lifeblood of the individual and the company is the company itself. People, you know, have done everything. They've borrowed money from relatives, second mortgages, to have businesses. And they're going to do everything they can to keep that business alive, you know, for the most part. You know, and I think that sometimes the rhetoric gives a false impression there. To even think like with all the money coming in potentially into corporate America that they would be so greed-oriented as opposed to what you just said right now, and that is that there is this kind of built-in regulator to businesses that is directly connected to the survival of the company.
Yeah, I agree with that. I was with my family, my 14-year-old daughter, on vacation. We were at a hotel, and my daughter said, "Geez, this hotel must make a lot of money. Look at, you know, look at how many people are here, and they're charging for everything, et cetera." But what she doesn't see is the competition that that hotel faces from all the other hotels and all the other ways that you can spend your money. And so what she doesn't see are two things that I think we who are very pro-business see. One is every business is in the business of serving customers. They're in the business of serving their fellow man. And those customers are demanding, and there are other businesses right there ready to satisfy those demands. So if you don't up your game day after day after day, you're going to be driven out of business by the competition. And I think the people who are very critical of business, they don't see the pressure that competition puts on businesses. They think, oh, business wants to raise their prices, they can just raise their prices. They want to make a profit, just charge more for the service. They don't see the competition that's there to rein those businesses and hold them in check. So my daughter doesn't see that. And the second thing she doesn't see is how hard that business is working to serve their fellow man as customers. And if they stop doing that for a second, they have to run hard just to stay in place. They have to make investments, because when their competitor makes an investment and their competitor has an innovation that lowers their cost, they had better step up and do the same thing, or they're going to be out of business. So often they're making investments and they don't even get any return from the investment. The customer captures almost all of the value from investment. The company becomes more productive. It makes the product at a lower cost. The person who doesn't see the competition says, oh, look at how that ruthless company is working their employees even harder. Why aren't they more generous? Why aren't they more careful? But the truth is that they're racing to try to stay up with competitors who have done the same thing. And the beneficiary of that is not the investors. It's the customers who are being served by those investors.
Right. And when you live in a free market system like we have in this country, it makes a lot of sense. It heals a lot of sins and ailments along the way. I guess maybe that's why I hold so much to the free market system.
Yeah, I think the if you look over time and said, what is it that's made all of us prosperous, not only the richest people but the poorest people in the United States, compared to, say, 200 years ago? I mean, it's all been created by free enterprise. It's all been created by business. It's all been created by commerce. Almost none of it was created by government or created by charity. Some of it was.
Yes.
But the vast majority of it, 80%, and we have come from, you know, abject poverty for the richest people 200 years ago to today, where the poorest people are richer than some of the richest people were in the 1930s. All of that's been done by innovation, by competition, by investment, by businesses competing with each other to serve customers more effectively than they did the day before.
So, Ed, you're telling me when Barack Obama told America that, you know, all the entrepreneurs in this country didn't build it, that it was really central command that did that, that he was just pulling our leg? Is that what you're telling me?
You know, I once had dinner with Lee Trevino, the golfer.
Oh, I love him.
And I said something about President Obama saying that you didn't earn it. And he said, well, you know what? I'm pretty sure I earned every dollar that I ever made. He said, I started off as a caddy in a golf club, and I stood out there in the rain practicing my golf every day. Nobody put one stroke in that golf game except for me.
Exactly.
Boy, that's 100% true.
That kind of sums it up. More from Ed Conard as we take a short break, ladies and gentlemen. Stay with us.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield, and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that make
may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
Message and data rates may apply.
Oh my gosh, that's Frank Thomas.
No.
Yes, that's him. Go ahead.
Excuse me, are you Frank Thomas?
Yes, I am.
I bet you get recognized a lot.
I was a pretty good ball player.
You were?
Some people thought so.
Sorry, we recognize you from those Nugenix commercials.
Oh yeah? That's great.
So does Nugenix really work?
Oh yeah, I really can feel the difference. My workouts are better, and I feel a lot more energetic.
I wish my husband would use Nugenix.
It's so easy to get started. All you have to do is send one simple text.
Text the word PRIME44 to 42424 for a complimentary bottle of award-winning Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. Its unique man-boosting formula is powered by Testofen, a patented key ingredient clinically researched to help a man feel stronger, leaner, more energetic, and more passionate.
And you're going to like the difference, too.
Text PRIME44 to 42424 for a complimentary bottle of Nugenix. Samples are not available in stores. Text PRIME44 to 42424.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutrition meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.
Reminding us of what makes our country great. Bill Martinez, live.
Back with you, 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here, just the way you like us, fresh every day, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Ed Conard is with us, New York Times bestselling author, visiting scholar with the American Enterprise Institute, and former partner with Bain Capital. Ed, I want to give you some time to really break this down in terms of econ and what the economy and what people are missing here because of the politicization of the economy, you know, for political purposes only, because it is not squaring up with what people are seeing out there, whether it has to do with the stock market, unemployment, getting more money coming February, they're going to see more money in their paychecks. But meanwhile, you've got CNN and the other people that are so anti-Trump oriented putting out a different report that is confusing people.
Well, I do think they expect about $2,500 on average per family as a result of this tax cut. I think what's interesting is you can cut the tax cut into two pieces, and this is what always makes me laugh about the liberal argument of tax cuts. Of course, there's the corporate tax cut where we've lowered it from 35% to 21%. I think if you look at all the economic analysis, almost all of the growth in the economy comes from the corporate tax cut. Mm-hmm. Then you have the middle class and the tax cut, and the wealthy tax cuts are the personal income tax cuts, which I think are substantially larger. I think most economists would forecast not nearly as much growth coming from that, although it puts money into people's pockets who haven't seen a raise for the last 10 or 15 years. So I think it's critical in that regard. But what I find hilarious is they're very critical of the deficits, which are created by the individual tax cuts that are going to put money into people's pockets. And they argue that the tax cuts aren't going to pay themselves for themselves. But if they were to break the argument into two and say, what do you think of the corporate tax cut? I don't think there's many people who wouldn't agree that the corporate tax cut's going to produce more revenue than it costs.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd be for the corporate tax cut, which they're actually against as Democrats, and they'd be against the middle class tax cut, which they'd be for, I think, as liberals. So mm-hmm. they combine the two. And then you know, make an argument about the combination not being able to pay for themselves, when in fact they're pulling a little the three card Monty.
Yes.
Where they're having you look one direction,
yes, exactly,
instead of the other. They're actually saying, look, we won't get enough growth from the corporate tax cut in order to cover the cost of the middle class tax cut. But left to their own devices, they would gladly take the middle class tax cut, and they would kill the corporate tax cut. Anyway.
Yeah, it doesn't make any bit of sense. But like with Ronald Reagan, the proof was in the pudding. It took a little bit of time, but then it was realized. And what amazes me, Ed, is how we abandoned that policy, those policies that, gave us a great run and great GDP.
Yeah, you know, it's hilarious because throughout the 1980s, you saw these articles about where's all the productivity gain that should have come from the information technology revolution. And then when they lowered the marginal tax rate in the 1980s, what you saw in the aftermath of that was an enormous increase in entrepreneurialism that led to the boom in the 1990s, which then the Democrats want to take credit for because President Clinton happened to be in power when the Internet was created. It was a little bit like creating the telephone, but all of that came in the aftermath of a lower marginal tax rate that substantially increased the amount of risk-taking and entrepreneurialism. It occurs slowly over time. And that's, I think, one of the things everyone's looking for the quick fix. But what you find is these things occur slowly and gradually, and they compound into very big differences over time. So, you know, Europe was growing faster than the United States through the early 1990s, into about 1992 or 1993 in terms of GDP per person. But since then, the U.S. has grown much faster than Europe has, and today our median incomes are 15 to 30%, depending on which country. But if you look at France, Germany, 15 to 30% higher our median incomes are than theirs, because we've compounded gradually with a higher productivity rate over the last couple of decades, which has made an enormous difference.
You know, to your point here, George Bush, when he turned over the reins to Bill Clinton, that was a legitimate thank you, George Bush, as opposed to today. You got Barack Obama trying to claim some sort of credit for the economy.
For me, I think it's hilarious when people say, well, the stock market rose more under President Obama than it has under President Trump. It's like, well, yeah, it was starting in the bottom of a recession, and it, you know, recovered as tepidly as any recovery we have seen since the Great Depression. Mm-hmm. And you say, we never got a rebound. We went down and then grew slowly off the bottom. Normally what happens is you go down, you bounce back up to normal, and then you get to grow at the normal rate. We haven't seen any bounce back in normal rate until the end of the Obama administration, when the Republicans took control of both Congress and the presidency. And we saw an immediate 35% rise in the Dow, and that was off of a high that had been the high since 2014. So it's not as though it was a rebound off the bottom. It was a 35% increase off the top of the market. If that
exactly.
isn't evidence that conservative economics are more valuable for this country and for the working man than Democratic economics, what other sign could we get inside of 1 year? I mean, you know, things take decades to unfold, but, you know, investors have grown extremely optimistic about the future of the United States and the world.
So you're telling me I can thank Obama because he's not here? Did I say that out loud? I thought I was just thinking that. Forgive me. You don't need to answer that. But I do want to ask you, one of the things that comes up over and over again is this counter argument about the trickle down economics. Would you address that?
Sure. First thing you have to recognize is you got to earn money in order to pay your taxes. And I think, it's funny, I had an article in the New York Times, and I said, you have to earn $5 to put a dollar in your pocket. You have to create $5 of value for your customer to put a dollar in your pocket. I said, nobody would disagree with that, but it's probably more like $20 that you have to create to put a dollar in your pocket. And then they got a liberal economist, Dean Baker, to say $20 for every dollar. That's ridiculous. It's more like $5 for every dollar. So, you know, exactly the number I said, nobody would disagree with $5, so all my calculations were done with $5. But my point is this, you have to go out and create $5 of value to put a dollar in your pocket so you can get taxed on that dollar. That's trickle up, not trickle down. Mm-hmm. I have to go out there and produce a lot of value for my customer, a lot more value that they capture than the value that I capture as an investor, as an entrepreneur, as a business owner. So I have to put $5 in everybody else's pocket to put a dollar in my pocket, and then I get the privilege of paying taxes on my dollar. So you got to remember that income is trickling up to the taxpayers, and then ultimately they're paying the taxes on those dollars. So I really do see it as trickle up, not as a trickle down. The second thing I would tell you is this, which is wages are highly correlated to productivity, and productivity is highly correlated to investment. If you want to tax investment, you're going to get less investment.
Mm-hmm.
So every economist, a liberal or conservative, would agree that putting a tax on investment is the most inefficient way to tax the economy. There are much more efficient ways to tax the economy, with a sales tax, for example, on consumption. What you'd see in that case is you'd see less consumption, more investment. Ultimately, what you want to do is get as much investment as you can possibly get, because that's going to drive up productivity, it's going to drive up wages, it's going to drive up growth rates. And part of the reason we need to drive up growth rates, don't forget, we have an enormous number of baby boomers who are going to retire.
Exactly.
They are going to demand to be paid. We need to grow the economy in order to be able to pay them. And when we're done paying them, we have to be able to defend ourselves against the Chinese, who are going to be bigger than we are in the future if they're successful. Maybe they won't be, but we ought to be concerned that they will be, because they're a billion people, twice our size, more than three times our size.
Yeah, exactly.
And we have to be able to defend ourselves after we get done paying the baby boomers. So just being able to grow is critically important to the long-term success of the United States. And the key to growth is entrepreneurial risk-taking, innovation, and investment. The more you tax those things, the less of those you're going to get.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to let you think on that for just a moment as we go to break. We've got more from Ed Conard as we wrap things up here. Stay with us. I'm Bill Martinez. We are live.
This is Dan Perkins for your Songs and Stories for Soldiers Veterans Tip of the Day. In many parts of the country, it's starting to get cooler, and some areas have already had a significant amount of snow, perhaps where you live. Rapid changes in temperatures, highs and lows, can make you susceptible to getting a cold or even the flu. One of the places veterans have forgotten about for getting their flu shots is the Veterans Administration. So here's your Songs and Stories for Soldiers Veterans Tip of the Day. Go to the VA.gov website and find your closest community health care center. Give them a call and see if they're giving flu shots now. And if not, find out when they're going to start. Ask about what days and times they will administer the shots and the best time for you to come. And by the way, while you're on the phone with them, ask them about pneumonia shots. Get your shots now and avoid the long lines during flu season standing in front of all those sick people. This is Dan Perkins with your Songs and Stories for Soldiers Veterans Tip of the Day.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too. Because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance, it's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
People search the internet for everything, including you. With a few clicks, information from your past can be quickly discovered, from business deals gone wrong to misleading reviews, negative articles, and unflattering images. Studies show 78% of people search for someone online before doing business with them. Will they find the real you? With ReputationDefender.com, you can establish a positive internet presence. ReputationDefender.com pioneered the field with over a decade of experience, serving thousands of successful individuals and businesses. We use patented, award-winning systems to boost positive content and suppress negative material. Don't let the internet define you. Take control of your reputation today with ReputationDefender.com. For your quick, free reputation analysis, call 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771, 800-831-0771, or visit ReputationDefender.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
It's about time someone had the courage to say it. Bill Martinez, live.
Back with you 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here, coming at you fresh as we do every day, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Ed Conard, New York Times bestselling author, visiting scholar with the American Enterprise Institute, giving us a remedial here on the economy and things that we need to know about. Ed, just before the break, you were mentioning China. They seem to be the boogeyman out there all the time, that they're breathing down our throats. They're going to take over the world economy. How real is the threat of China taking over?
Well, I think the threat's real. I think it's a long way away. I don't think it's 100% the case that they're going to take over versus the United States, but I think we have to remember they have a billion smart, hardworking, entrepreneurial people, and we have about 350 million of those people. So, you know, in the long run, they ought to be about three times our size. Now, the long run's a long way away, because right now they're, they're the same size. Their economy slightly smaller than our economy, but there's three times as many people. So the people there are fairly poor relative to the people in the United States. You know, their average person is only about a third or less of the income of the United States. So they have a long way to go. Don't forget, though, they get to use all of our innovation, all of our intellectual property.
Thank you very much.
Right, exactly. What they can't just copy, they steal. Mm-hmm. Do they have an advantage to being able? We blaze the trail, and they follow in our wake for half the cost. They absolutely do, and they have a lot of labor. It's low cost. You know, they can put a lot of people to work for $3 an hour. That's hard for us to compete with. So, do they have some inherent advantages? Sure, but ultimately, would they have to shift to a market-based economy to get the kind of innovation and entrepreneurialism that we have in the United States? In the long run, yes, but in the short run, I think their entrepreneurs see enormous growth and opportunity, and they're taking a lot of risk to try to start businesses to capitalize on that. So, I think you see a lot of thoughtful entrepreneurialism in China that is pushing their growth forward. So do I think we need to be concerned? Absolutely.
Yeah, but don't they have some things, some barriers there that are built into the cake in terms of it being all controlled by central command there? I'll take the free market any day over some, you know, even though they're getting some breaks and, you know, robbing the marketplace of intellectual property and doing business the way they do. And I just, I don't know, in my experience, I found that the free market, the cream always rises. And, you know, you start putting Americans to the test, and they're starting to feel this competitive, this competition is taking place. They're going to rise to the challenge. And I guess why I'm so bullish about the potential productivity of this country.
Yeah, well, I certainly agree with that. I think we have the capability to develop technologies and such that they have no ability to get to at this point in time. I think you have to worry about over the long run, can they eventually get there? I think, sure, slowly, over time. Do I think their central command and control is going to slow them way down? I do. But at the moment, an example of this would be, you know, we buy a lot of product from them, and that gives them a jump start that helps them grow. So what would I be doing if I was in charge? I'd be trying to push a lot of that purchasing out of China and into places like Malaysia, Indonesia, the Philippines, Vietnam, Cambodia, those places where they're a little smaller and a little bit easier for us to contain in the long run militarily than concentrating all of our purchases in China, which fuels their economic growth, fuels their military spending, and I think will ultimately create a difficult problem for us in the long run. But in the, you know, but would I bet on entrepreneurialism and the U.S. free enterprise system? You bet I would.
I think exactly. There's
no better place in the world.
Well, you mentioned the military implications, buildup of military islands there in the South China Sea, very aggressive, getting some inroads into Pakistan, other areas without a doubt heading into the Middle East. We've got to keep an eye on what China is doing, don't we?
Yeah, well, I think without a doubt, and all the product that we buy from them, all the commerce, free enterprise that we give to them because their prices are low, I think gives them an enormous leg up on development. And if it were me, I'd be working on ways to try to push all that commerce into other, push it throughout Asia and throughout the rest of the world so that we can have better control over the military consequences of the success that our economy is creating for the rest of the world. It's our economy that pulls the rest of the world forward. Without the American economy,
exactly,
the Chinese growth rate would be what it has been for 50 years before we started buying everything from them.
Well, as we go into the final section of this final segment, Ed, I want to focus on the forgotten man and woman. You know, America is on the rise. We're very optimistic and bullish about our productivity levels and with the tax cuts and that. Excuse me, just clear my throat here. What is your prescription? For America right now.
Well, I think the opportunity that we are have squandered. And I'll say the Democrats have squandered it, and I fear the Republicans are going to squander it too, which is in our technological, information-based economy, you need ultra-high-skilled workers, technology workers, scientists, mathematicians, entrepreneurs, business people, the most talented people. And the constraints to growth in this economy is not so much capital investment, it's talent. Mm-hmm. And we have an opportunity, I believe, to go out and get the most talented people from the rest of the world and to bring them to the United States to accelerate our growth rate, to pay for our retiring baby boomers, to help build up our military, to produce jobs for the rest of our workforce. And I think that, if you say the top 5% of the workforce is about 120 million full-time workers, that's about 6 million workers. Mm-hmm. We issue 1 million green cards a year, largely to low-skilled workers, overwhelmingly to low-skilled workers. If we issued 1 million green cards a year to the most capable workers in the world, we could potentially double our top 5% in the next 5 or 10 years. If we doubled the number of top 5% workers, we could potentially double the growth rate of the United States. And if we double the growth rate of the United States and held the rest of our workforce constant, we could potentially double the wages of the rest of our workforce. I think it's the only way we're going to get 3% growth. It's the only way we're going to pay off the retiring baby boomers. It's the only way we're going to compete with China in the long run. And so I think deregulation, lower taxes, those things can help, and they help a lot on the margin, but they are small in comparison to bringing more talent. Now, I would go out and I'd work on our education system, and I'd be trying to get as many people through that system as I possibly could, because I think that's another critical area. I think we used to supply all the college graduates in the world, and so we were very wasteful about what we let people go study and finance and such. I mean, what we paid for people to study.
Exactly.
We need to make sure that we take our talented people and send them to school and teach them how to serve customers, grow the economy, create jobs for the rest of our fellow man. And then we need to supplement that by going out to the rest of the world. In Europe, there's not a kid in Europe, a 25-year-old kid who wants to be in Europe.
Right, exactly.
Be working in the United States. At probably 50% higher wages and a much more interesting career. We could go and scarf the talent from the rest of the world and make America twice as strong as it already is.
Yeah, forget about being great again. We could be greater yet. And I agree with you. I loved it when you shared that concept with us the last time we talked, Ed. I think that that is a missing component. And it's really nothing new. It's what we did post-World War II, isn't it?
Yes, we did it our whole history. And I just think today we ought to be, we can bring anybody to the United States who we want. We ought to be very thoughtful about doing that. An example of this would be, you know, we need a lot of tax revenue to pay for the retiring baby boomers. A top 5% worker generates way more tax revenue than they consume in government services.
Yeah.
Any place a guy in the world is going to generate more tax revenue than he consumes in government services, more of that, please. I'll take another one of those guys.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, well, why not? I mean, after all, we've got people coming to this country. You know, Donald Trump announced that Mexico was not sending their best. Well, I'm not sure America is asking for the world's best. And, you know, to your point, maybe that's what we should be doing.
That's what I certainly think. It's a million green cards a year, and there's only about 6 million people at the top 5% who are driving all the technological innovation. And it's not just they're driving all the technological innovation, which is critical for this technological information-oriented economy.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say it's the only thing that matters. There are many entrepreneurs who start lots of businesses at the grassroots level, which are critically important to growing the economy as well. But there's also this piece where we do need the best scientists, the best mathematicians, the best managers of large businesses if we truly want to be as competitive as we possibly can be. And that's a unique set of skills. Which is different than the entrepreneurialism that's required to run a great restaurant or a great travel agency or many, many other businesses, which are also absolutely critical to our success. But I do believe that in that case, in those jobs, we can train our people to be more effective at creating those businesses and those jobs. I think it's difficult when you say we need computer programmers who know some esoteric language that if you didn't learn it at 20, you're probably not going to learn it at 50.
Exactly.
We need to go get those 20-year-olds.
You're right, without a doubt. Well, Ed Conner, again, thank you so much for your time. Appreciate you being with us to break down the economy and some great ideas as always. How can people be in touch with you?
www.edwardconner.com. is my website. That's probably the best way. I also tweet a little bit, not a lot, because I'm too busy reading and trying to write to actually try to express myself in a brief number of words, but www.edwardconner.com, and you'll see far more of me than you'll ever want to see.
Well, I doubt that, but I always appreciate you having on. Thank you. Thank you so much, Ed. Appreciate it. Take care. Happy New Year.
No, thank you.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home, and you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect and may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035. That's 800-667-9035.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey